They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Well, here we are. It's another day. It's a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. And we're all wondering, I'm not sweating it out or anything, today is the day before November 3rd, and I had talked about some things on the, if you didn't hear my news bites, I talked about something I had found out about by somebody that emailed me, that tomorrow there is predicted to be a false flag in Seattle, and it's November 3rd, 2019. This thing has been pointed to in many things. If you would like to see an incredible movie about this, I put it right on the front page of davidjamesboston.com. I suggest you give it a gander. Don't let it program you. But, you know, basically, it's pretty revealing. I don't get caught up in these fear dates and things like that. But if they do this, it'll be another huge mistake like 9/11 was. And it's very interesting because the date, November 3rd, I'll just give you a clue of what I've already said about this. November 3rd is the 11th month. Remember I told you from B.F. Jackson's book that 44 was one of the devil's numbers? Well, it's the 44th week of the year. Not only that, but it's November 3rd. 11 times 3 is 33. And when you multiply 33 times 3, you get 9, which is the devil's number, correct? That's just 1, right? So you get 9 already, right? And then I know this will drive the numbers people nutso. Okay, but 219. 2 times 19 is 38. 3 and 8 is 11. So we can see that the devil, I've told you that 9 is the devil's number and 11 is his children's number, the Jews. You have 9-11 coded in tomorrow's date. So I just thought of this too, that if it does happen, all those things that they talked about 9/11 in the media would also go for this date because 9/11 is encoded right in it. Now, I watched most of that video and nothing was said what I've just said. So I find this very, very interesting. But I assume that tomorrow will just come and go and nothing will happen. But that is the one thing, is that if enough people know about it, that could prevent the event. And that's, that could very well happen. They might have been planning on pulling it off, but they might back down. Anyway, either way, they want to kill people and they want to shed some blood. I talked about how the Jews haven't really had a major war this decade, and they've had a major war in every decade, practically. I mean, since World War II. Even World War I, well, it lasted like 20 years between. That's another thing I wanted to mention before I even say anything. I just thought of, I was listening to Comparé's Revelation, Part 13, and he was talking about Hitler in Germany. And I realized all of a sudden that I think there were 22 years between the wars, if I'm right. Roughly, yes. So you know why they would let 21 or 22 years go between the war? So another generation could grow up of young soldiers, and that would fit another war. I've never thought of that before, but you think, you know, understand what I'm saying? So in other words, if you wait 22 years between the two wars, World War I and World War II, that gives a generation of people to grow up to get into the war. Isn't that interesting? It is to me. All right, so anyway, this is an interesting thing, this date. We'll find out. There's no fear factor with me. I don't feel any fear. And I know I don't live in Seattle, but I know that these people want to change more laws. And if you want to hear all my comments on it, just go listen to News Bites from yesterday. Okay? So, very interesting. That's all I can say. Why don't we get ready and go into the material here? Last week, the show was called The Romans Didn't Do It. And they certainly didn't. So the Jews are trying to change the scriptures and trying to make it so that you get a warning in the Bible saying that this is anti-Jewistic. You know, basically, I don't want to hear any more from these Jews, basically. You get it? I didn't want to hear from them in the first place, but now I really don't want to hear any more from them. You know what I mean? And somebody somewhere's just got to tell them, hey, stick it. You know what I mean, right? Sorry. But, you know, somebody's got to tell them sooner or later, listen, I don't care what you think. Screw, you know, sorry, that's lewd, but sorry, that's the way it is. Just had enough of these people, man. You know, I don't want to hear any more of their demands because I don't recognize them as a legitimate people. They're two-legged beasts of the field. They're not even men. Why would we want to take demands from the most subtle beast of the field? It's just ridiculous. So obviously, the Jews did it. They made sure that they did, you know, they were given every chance to say, well, listen, you know, you don't have to kill Jesus. We'll let Barabbas go instead, or blah, blah, blah. You know, what do you want me to do with him? You know, all the things that they were, had all the chances that they could to not kill him, but they did kill him. And this was his plan anyway. This was Yeshua's plan, the Father's plan. And so it had to be. So this week, we're going to continue, and it's called The Apostles Condemn the Jews for the Murder of Christ. This is the fourth thesis. The apostles accuse the Jews and not the Romans of the death of Christ. Proofs. In the scriptures, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, St. Peter, addressing his words to the Jews of different lands who were gathered in Jerusalem, see, they weren't Jews in different lands. These people don't understand. I'm sorry that I have to keep correcting these things. These were Israelites from different lands. And, you know, basically, I had mentioned this before. I think that's where they're going to go here, is that I've mentioned this many months ago. I've mentioned it last week, that they were pricked in their hearts at this time when Peter told them that they had, you know, called for Jesus Christ's death, his crucifixion. So they're going to try to tell you here, I think. Let's find out, right? They're going to try to tell you that those people that were pricked in their hearts were these Jews from all different lands. A Jew is not pricked in his heart about anything. Make that real clear in your heart, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. These people don't care about anything. They're not going to be convicted in their hearts that they called for the crucifixion of Christ. How do I know that? Well, you've got Sarah Silverman, the ugly Jewess. She said if Jesus Christ were here again today, we'd crucify him again. See, she said we'd crucify him. She's a Jewess. Pardon me if I get a little, hot under the collar, I guess you could say that. But anyway, you understand what's saying here. So I'm going to, you know, just kind of straighten this out for you. In chapter 2 of the book of Acts, Peter, addressing his words to the Israelites of different lands who were gathered in Jerusalem, where each, after the descent of the Holy Ghost, heard the words of the apostle in his mother tongue, said, "Ye men of Judea, and ye all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye see yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So, he may be addressing some of the Jews that were there too. But what I'm saying is that the Jews did not receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, you see how confusing this can be? I shouldn't even read this because the Catholics will confuse everything all up because they don't have a real clear understanding of the Bible. See, he said, "Men of Israel, ye have crucified and slain him." In the third chapter of the aforementioned work, we find the passage relating to the healing of the lame man from birth. "And as the lame man which was held by Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why ye look so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore, whereof we are witnesses." In this passage of the Testament, this part of the Testament, where the entire people was assembled, St. Peter upbraids the Jews for having killed Christ. In addition, we find that in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, a passage where not only St. Peter, but also the remaining apostles categorically accused the council of elders of Israel. Now that's the Jews. which was summoned by the priests of the death of Christ. Now, of course, they weren't all Jews because the Apostle Paul wasn't a Jew. You know, there's something else that is interesting, because if Josephus was in the army of Rome, he couldn't have been a Jew. And I keep finding people saying that Josephus was a Jew, and he's not a Jew any more than the Apostle Paul is a Jew. Because no one who is a citizen of Rome could be a Jew, because no Jew could be a citizen of Rome. You understand? Now, they deliberately, I will say one thing about the book of Josephus, some of them, not all of them even have a picture on the front, but I've seen the book of Josephus with a big hook-nosed fella on there. And you get the idea. Who prints these books? You know what I mean? You get it? They've brainwashed the Judeo-Christians into thinking that, just like these Catholics all think that these are all Jews that received the Holy Ghost. The Jews didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Believe me, the Jews didn't receive any Holy Ghost whatsoever. And the Jews were not pricked in their hearts. I mean, this is ridiculous nonsense. The Catholics, now listen, I've said this before. If you're a Catholic and you're sincere, you sincerely love the Father, and you're caught in an institution, I love you. I want you to be delivered from the state you're in. What I would require of you, not that you care of what I would require, but I'd ask you to be faithful to the Father rather than to men and institutions. Worship of men and worship of institutions like the Babylonian Catholic Church are going to lead you to the pit of hell. I've explained this over and over and over again, how it's a hybrid priesthood. I explained to you how this all became a hybrid priesthood. And there's so much more it's just simple to see. So when I'm talking against the Catholic institution, it's like I say about America being the America and Ephraim, you know, the UK, being the people that, as proxies of the Jews, they destroyed the world. That doesn't mean that all the American people were part of that or wanted that to happen, or the people of the UK. So in the same way, when I'm railing about the Catholic institution because it's an abomination to the Father, any hybrid priesthood is an abomination. Judeo-Christianity, that's a hybrid priesthood. That's an abomination to the Father. Do I hate Judeo-Christian people? No. I want them to be delivered the same as you, dear Catholic. I want you to be delivered from these institutions, and I want you to have a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father himself, because he says very clearly that people are going to come to him and they're going to say, we did this in your name, and we did this good work in your name, and we did this. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, they did these things for the institutions and for the worship of men. They did these things thinking that they were serving God, but they really weren't. They never knew who he was. They never had a relationship with him. So my mission, one of the many missions, my mission is to, you know, I'm not going to explain all my missions right this moment. My mission, the main mission of all missions, is to get you away from worshiping institutions and men and to have a personal relationship with the Father in heaven. Then he won't be able to say, I never knew you. And I also explained that too, though, that when he says, I never knew you, you know that he knows each and every one of us, in a sense. What he means is, I never had a relationship with you. You never came to me and wanted to be, you know, close to me. You ignored me. You ignored my laws. You ignored and you obeyed institutions. You obeyed men. Rather than obeying me, rather than loving me, rather than seeking in my word. That's what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. Very interesting what it's going to say next here. Listen to this. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Praise you, Father. I didn't see that coming next. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Now this is, remember that he was rebuking the council of elders of the priesthood, right? In public. When he was saying to the other people, they were Israelites, the regular common people like you and I, they were saying that some of you got together with these Jews and called for the death of Christ. You were, brought into the moment. Those are the people that were pricked in their hearts. Believe me, there was no Jew from the priesthood or no Sadducee or Jew walking around in Judea that had ever felt any sorrow for hanging Jesus, for crucifying Jesus Christ. Let's get real here. So now that that's all clarified, we have thus here a common evidence of the apostles which accused the Jews of, and not the Romans, of having killed Christ. If all this will still not suffice, we will quote in addition the evidence of St. Paul and St. Stephen, the first martyrs of Christianity. St. Paul, in his first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, says with reference to the Jews, who both killed Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Their own prophets? See, you see that there's something wrong with that, right? It's not the Jews' prophets. In this verse, St. Paul describes the Jews in convincing manner as contrary to all men. Well, they certainly are. This is a truth that can be doubted by no one who has thoroughly studied the mode of thought and the illegal activities of the Jewish people. However, it is very probable that if Paul had lived today, he would have been condemned as an enemy of the Jews, since he publicly announced a truth that may have never been announced by anyone, owing to the Jews and their accomplices within the clergy. When on his side, the pro-martyr St. Stephen, pro-martyr, St. Stephen turned to the Jews out of the synagogue of the freedmen, the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and then chose of Sicilia and Asia, i.e. to Jews from different parts of the world, he said to them in the presence of the high priest, the spiritual leader of Israel. I already explained all that. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, and so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your father persecuted? And when they have slain them and shown before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. The evidence of St. Stephen thus agrees with that of the apostles and with that of St. Paul, when he regards the Jews in general, both of Jerusalem and the remaining parts of Judea. So what you have to understand is it's the same thing as it is in every country that we live in right now. There's the true Israelite people, and then there's Jews living among us. And that's the way, of course, it was in Judea. And of course, that's evident because Herod was put over this land by the Romans. The Jews were a problematic people that caused a lot of problems for Rome. And so they put certain people in charge of these areas because they were trying to keep good relations with the Jews and just keep them shut up, if you know what I mean, basically. And so Pontius Pilate was one of those that could do that. And of course, one of their own, Herod, could do that. See, he wasn't, they weren't having problem with the Israelite people. They were having problem with the Jews that lived among the Israelite people. This is, I'm trying to clarify this, and I think that's a good way of saying it. That's how you, what you have to understand. You see how you hear the Jews calling for all the stuff I was talking about at the beginning of the message? Basically, it's the same thing. It's not the Israelite people that are calling, you know, the white people. It's the Jews that are calling. It's the Jews that are causing problems. It's the Jews that are causing anti-Semitism. It's the Jews that are doing all these things that are causing problems around the whole world, in, and especially in our Israelite countries. And this is what somebody like Herod was sent there to do, and somebody like Pontius Pilate. They had to have a certain amount of Roman soldiers in the area to keep the peace, so to speak. It was sort of an outpost, you know what I mean? From what I can gather. So that's how I would just, you know, what's happening here. They could really confuse you with this kind of lingo. In short, the preceding revelations of Christ, as well as the evidence of the apostles, including St. Paul, represent an irrefutable proof that the church is far from having erred over 19 centuries. They're trying to say that the Catholic Church is far from having erred over 19 centuries. But anyway, I'll leave that to your competent minds. Sure. They were right to regard the Jewish people as murderers of God, whereas to attribute responsibility for the crime to the Romans lacks any foundation. Again, remember that the Catholics killed about 60 million people. Comparé talks about that in the Revelation series. Remember all these people that were called heretics because they didn't ascribe to the abomination church called the Catholic Church, they were murdered by them. And there were Jews in there doing the, you know, scripting it all and playing it all out. Since this doctrine, which asserts that the Romans and not the Jews were responsible for the murder of our divine Redeemer, stands in contradiction to the evidence of Christ and the apostles, it is proven in clear manner to be false and even heretical. At first sight, it seems absurd and inexplicable that a group of zealous Catholic clergy could be so emboldened to support such an apparent error in our days. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about that little organization the Catholic clergy made to be kind to the Jews and so on and so forth, like a league, in league with them. So they're saying here, that's what I'm just mentioning, what that's about, that a group of zealous Catholic church clergy could be so emboldened to support such an apparent error in our days. Isn't it funny that they just said that they had no error for 1900 years, but that was in just saying the only error that they didn't have was they said that these Jews were Christ killers. So that's the only real error they were without. So it says, which if it were to prosper, this group, would deny the truth of that which is said in the Holy Gospels, with all its unimaginable consequences. But such godless intrigues are explained if one bears in mind that the synagogue of Satan, quote unquote, as well as the clergy who stand in its service, are disturbed by the struggle that devout Christians from different parts of the world are conducting against communism and against its father and instigator, the Jews striving for power, and that they, under all circumstances, wish to reform the church in such a manner as to allow them to use it henceforth as a serviceable tool of the synagogue of Satan, in order to crush the Catholics who fight heroically against it for the defense of Christendom and its threatened and opposed nations. So, what's interesting is, through this Hegelian dialectic of these Jews and Freemasonry as well, fighting against the other Babylonian institution. Remember, Judaism is from Babylon. Freemasonry was renewed in Babylon with Nimrod and Semiramis. She brought back the mystery religions. The mystery religions, according to Pike, is Freemasonry. It's the Kabbalah, which now entwines that with the Jews, of course. And then you have the Catholic Church, which stems, you say, well, that stems out of Rome, but it's paganism stems out of Babylon. So in other words, you see what I say about the mixed, the meld of the priesthoods, the pagan priesthood and the supposed Christian priesthood. So this Hegelian dialectic between the two of them, what has happened? What is the Catholic Church today? It's communism. Where does it work? Where does the Catholic Church have most of its patrons? And where does it work perfectly? In communist nations, like South America, etc., 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 right? But believe me, this Babylonian institution is even in the Middle East. Near mosques are these Catholic institutions, their churches. In case you don't know that. Because even the star and the crescent moon is Baal. Or you could say that it's also Osiris, who is Baal, and Isis, the goddess, who is Mary. And so through this, they do, many of the priesthood are involved in Freemasonry. We see now that who's in head of the Catholic Church at this moment? We see that we have a Jewish pope. And this fellow is the most dastardly of all popes. We do see that he's very communistic. We do see that. And he is sent there to destroy what the world believes to be Christianity. See, it's just not Christianity. It's never been real Christianity, but it has represented the Christianity in the world for a very long time. It's the trickery of the devil. You see, if they were a real Christian religion, they wouldn't have kept the scriptures from the people for all those years. In other words, They made a power base for themselves. See, I'm sorry I'm not reading the book, but I have to explain these things. This is what Gnostic religions do. They create a power base. And this is just like Freemasonry, where you have to keep coming back to them for more information. Or in Freemasonry, they say more light. So you have to keep returning to them. So by not giving you the scriptures, you have to rely on what they tell you the scriptures say. And of course, they had used that to their advantage for a very, very long time. If it's true, what Comparé said, that it was kept from us for 1,260 years, which it's, you know, this is right out of the book of Revelation. So the two witnesses were silenced. That could be very well true. And when Tyndale and people like him came out, and when they printed the scriptures, the word was available to the Israelite people, not Jews, but the, well, of course, I'm sure Jews got a hold of it too, but for the first time. This immediately decimated the power base of the Catholic Church. You see what I'm saying? So if they were real Christian, they'd be spreading the gospel, not hiding it. This ought to speak volumes to you, what I'm saying to you. Dear Catholic, don't you understand what I'm telling you? Can't you see what I'm saying? If they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that Paul said that if anyone come preaching another gospel than the one we have given you, let him be accursed. As far as I'm concerned, the Catholic Church is accursed. It's accursed right from the beginning because of the hybrid priesthood. The Father does not recognize hybrid priesthoods. He doesn't say, well, you know, I suppose we can just mix in paganism with, you know, our Israelite priesthood. There's no problem with that. We already saw that that's what was done with Baal's priesthood. Remember? It's an abomination. It was wrong right from the very beginning. It was an abomination from the very start. And it's now much, much more of an abomination, but it was still an abomination then. It's never been what you think it was. I know that's hard to hear. And listen, I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. It doesn't even hurt. It only hurts if you have some kind of an ego where you think like you have to be right about everything. If you've been tricked, the way I would explain this to you is, I was tricked much of my life, just as most people are. So I've been wrong about the Jews my whole life. Does it hurt me that I wasn't smart enough to see this? Not really, because they have every advantage of keeping these things from us. The delusion, you know, until you love the truth. So what I'm saying is you might have been wrong your whole life and then you end up age 45 or something and now all of a sudden you find out what the truth is. And then it takes you 10 years to realize it's, you know what I mean? You just keep going, you know what I mean? What I'm saying is that it happens for many people late in life. But the worst thing than that, there's a worse thing than that, and that is that you never find out the truth. So if you found out late in life and you found out you were wrong and you were tricked by these institutions, you were tricked by the devil, you were tricked by his children, you don't walk around kicking yourself about it. You just say, well, thank God the Father, thank the Father in heaven, Yahweh himself, that he loved me enough to show me the truth. Thank God that he plucked me out of the fire. Thank the Father in heaven, Yahweh. Thank him for these things that he gave me. He took the delusion off of me because I sought for the truth and because I loved him. Don't worry about that you were wrong for your whole life. There's nothing that can be done about that now. How would you like to be in your grave and find out you were wrong for your whole life? So what I should say is don't feel bad if you have been fooled for a good deal of your life. Be happy that you were allowed to find out what the truth was before you left and ended in your grave, swallowed by Mother Earth. You see? So, listen, you're going to be wrong again. You're going to get fooled some way again. The way I look at it is we're still being fooled by things. It's the nature of the beast. You get it? And I mean literally the nature of the beast. So let me continue here. So what I was saying about this is the very thing that they said here, the Jewish striving for power and that they are under all uncircumstances wish to reform the church in such a manner that has been done. as to allow them to use the church, the Catholic Church, henceforth as a serviceable tool of the synagogue of Satan. That is exactly what it is being used for. Remember, dear Catholic, remember what I said that I showed, I told you, if you, I didn't tell you personally, but I'm telling you now that the Pope did, this current Pope, did a ceremony in Latin where he recognized Lucifer as God and his son as Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, just go. I believe it's in one of my articles. I believe it's in the article that I just wrote called "The Monstrance is Lucifer in Disguise." You will see in that video that the Pope, and of course they did it in Latin so that most people won't understand it, they recognize that Lucifer is God and that his son is Jesus Christ. Okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. Either you go and check it out or you don't believe me. But remember, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That's Proverbs 18:13, one of my favorite verses in the scriptures, in the Testament, the one Testament. Yes. All right, so anyway. So it says, in order to, we're back in the book now, in order to attain this, you know, making it a serviceable tool of the synagogue of Satan, it must, in the first place, destroy the Jew-hostile teachings of the church fathers and the popes and councils. In their indescribable insolence, they go so far as to demand the setting up of new doctrines, such as those which represent the Romans and not the Jews, as responsible for this despicable murder. Yeah, that is something that the Jews are still trying to do today. They're trying to say the Romans did it, not the Jews. As long as Christians continue to regard the Jewish people as the murderers of God, every assertion that has the aim of regarding them as good, holy, and untouchable is condemned to failure. However, the Hebrews fight bitterly. They're not Hebrews, ladies and gentlemen. What they mean is the Edomite, Canaanite Jews, the Turco-Mongolian Jews, they're not Hebrews. They fight bitterly to force upon Christianity a false doctrine, which declares them as the beloved, sacred, and untouchable of God, and then allows them to carry out free and without contradiction all their conspiracies and crimes. We will study later how many other reforms which the so-called liberals and progressive clergy plan, and they have no other purpose than to destroy the traditions of the church as sources of our teaching in order to render easier the destructive plans of communism and of Jewish hunger for power. Notice the term he uses here. This is 1962 to 65, I believe. 61 to 65 or 62 to 65. Listen to the terms he's using. We will study later how many other reforms which the so-called liberals and progressive clergy plan. What do they call today's politicians on the left? The liberals, right? They call them liberals. They call them progressives, don't they? You see, the clock's ringing for a reason. You dig? Take that as a note to understand that they call themselves liberals and progressives. So liberal and progressive clergymen, including in any of the religions, are trying to progress away from the truth and away from the Father and away from that to some tradition of the Jews. You understand? This is definitely very interesting things. This is chapter 9, Morality of Struggle and Not Deadly Defeatism. one of the most godless intrigues which has yielded the Jews a magnificent result in their struggle against Christianity has been the utilization of the idea of Christian morality and love of one's neighbor, which they shape according to their whim and use with crushing precision as a destructive weapon against Christianity. I'd like to stop and comment right there. Without going any further, I'll explain some of that to you. Christian morality and the love of one's neighbor. These Jews have now said that we must love our enemies. And in their definition of that, that means that you should, if a Negro comes and kills your daughter and rapes her, you should forgive that enemy because he's your brother. You realize how ridiculous that is? That is absolutely insane. I laugh because of the ridiculousness of such a statement. What that scripture really is saying is that when you forgive your enemies 70 times 7, which is 490 times, right? That means the people of your own household, the people of your own tribe, the people of the other tribes of Israel. The Jews aren't even in that category. Never mind Negroes or anybody else. You see what I mean? So this is the Christian morality they're trying to impose upon you. And that you should love queers. And that you know, God has changed his mind. And there's a new morality, a progressive morality in, you know, the world today. And the Father has decided no longer. This Pope said that the Father in heaven there, that he no longer decides to judge us for anything. That he realizes that homosexuality is just a progression, a natural progression. You know, this is just absolutely insane. And he loves communists too, the Pope says. So we're to love, remember the lie, one of the biggest lies you'll ever hear in your life. And I'm going to explain, thank you, Father, because that brings me to this one important thing. They tell you that we are all the children of God. But there's something wrong about that. That's a complete lie. I'll give you a perfect example of why that's not true. Are the angels the children of God? No, they're not. But God created them, didn't he? Yes. Are dogs the children of God? Or horses? Etc., etc., etc. No, they're not the children of God, but he created them. Are the Chinamen and all the beasts of the field, or Jews who came from hybridism, are they the children of God? Absolutely not. And their father is not our father. But let me explain something to you that I thought of that is incredible. Let me ask you a quick question about yourself. The man that brought you into this world through, you know, sex with your mother, he is you call him dad, right? We're not supposed to call him father, but let's just use that term for a minute here. He's your father, right? Well, do you go down to the Negro family down the street and call that man your father? As if there was a family down the street. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Or do you go even to another white man's house and call him your father? No. See, the reason why we call the Heavenly Father the Father is because we are his offspring. We are the race that he has made a covenant with. Several covenants. We are his offspring, thus we call him Father. They are not, their father is of the devil, as I have done the special teaching in John that the Father gave me. And we saw that Jesus said to them that your father is of the devil. And every time he talks about their father, he's not saying our father to them. You understand what I'm saying? And it's in lower case. But when he talks about his father, and he's one of us, he's one of the offspring of the Father in heaven, the only begotten of the Father. You understand what I mean? Of course, he calls him Father too. It's just this simple that the world wants to confuse you and think that we're all the children of God when that's not true at all. You don't call some other man your father. And somebody will say to me, well, my father died and my mother married another man and I call. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Anyway, back to reality. So, we call him father because he's our father. We're his offspring. The Chinese don't call him father. They are the seed of the dragon. It's just that simple. The two-legged beast of the field don't call him father because they're not his offspring. The angels are not his offspring. He created the angels, but they're not his offspring. They don't call him father, I don't believe. Does that blow your mind? Because that was the thought that really made me think, wow, you know, that's pretty incredible. And to extend this Heavenly Father to say that he's the father of all creation because he created them, that's the premise that it's all on, but it's a false premise. Otherwise, a dog is the father's offspring. A dog can call him father. It's ridiculous. The reason why we call him father is because we are his offspring. The reason why Jesus calls him father is because he is the only begotten of the Father. He is his offspring. We are of his own, he breathed life into us. His own breath is in us. Unlike the rest of the peoples of the world that we hear before us. I think that's amazing. But anyway, let's go on. I'll go on a little bit here. We're just going to touch on this chapter a little bit because we've only got a small amount of time left together. It appears incredible that such noble things as morality and Christian love of one's neighbor should be transformed under this disastrous influence into dangerous intrigues. But the Jews have attained this skilled and death-bringing transformation with such harmful results for Christianity that it is necessary to sound the alarm and to show the danger in all clarity in order to prevent Christians from falling into this fatal deception. For a better understanding of this matter, one can resort to comparisons which, if a little crude, are nevertheless very clear. Let us assume that at a boxing match, a boxer is forced at the decisive moments of the match to fight on with one hand bound, leaving him only the possibility of using one hand for striking his opponent, while the latter uses his two hands. What would be the result of such a fight? Well, I would say that depends on the man, but generally speaking, we know what the result would be. It would not be surprising if the unfortunate boxer, whose one hand is bound, were beaten in the fight. Well, now, that is exactly what, upon different occasions, treacherous Jewry has been successful in achieving with the poor Christians. In that Christian charity and Christian morality were distorted and afterwards used to bind the Christians by hands and feet in order in this manner to attain their defeat. Every time I would say this, let me comment again. Oh, not another comment, Dave. Yes, another one. Mercy is one of our attributes, which is our Father. We obtain this attribute from our Father. We don't see any mercy in the Jew, do you? You don't see mercy in the Negroes, do you? Really? You might see a glimpse somewhere there, here or there, I don't know, but really there's no mercy there. There's not much mercy in the beasts of the field at all. the two-legged ones. There's plenty of mercy in the four-legged ones. So mercy, knowing that we are merciful, knowing that we are forgiving, they will take advantage of this, and it will be called a weakness, but it's really a strength because the Father doesn't have any weakness. Mercy is a wonderful attribute. To take advantage of it is very dastardly. So let's continue with what I just wanted to make that comment. So we continue here. Every time, therefore, when Christians react with an attempt to defend themselves against the synagogue of Satan and to protect Christendom or their country or to preserve the natural rights that they possess as persons, as family fathers, etc., the Jews and their aides, whenever the former are on the point of gaining the victory, of overthrowing and punishing them, always appeal to Christianly neighborly love. They attempt to touch the believers' hearts with this appeal so that they may give up the struggle or refrain from pushing to its conclusion the victory that they are on the point of winning. Good point, right? In other words, these are our brothers. These Jews, the Catholic Church told us recently that the Jews are our elder brothers. You see, you get it? Don't hate on those Jews. They're our brothers. Because we're all the children of God, aren't we? No, we aren't. And they're not our brothers. Exactly the opposite. They're our enemies. And so this brotherly love that is pushed through from the protocols of the learned elders of Zion right through Freemasonry, you know, fraternity, brotherhood, is used as a weapon against us. Let's get back to the last. I think this must be the last paragraph I'll be able to read here. Actually, that's it, folks. I'll read it anyway. They also resort to such cunning in order to prevent appropriate punishment being laid upon them as criminals or as being responsible for a repelled attack. All this for the purpose of reestablishing under protection of this armistice or of forgiveness, which they receive by reason of a misuse of Christian neighborly love, the necessary power to begin a new, the overwhelming, merciless, destructive, and irremediable aggression, after whose victory one will be able to expect neither moral acts nor Jewish charity. Again, this, what I just read to you right there, proves that they do not have the mercy of our Father within them. He said here that they are merciless and destructive, irremediable, aggressive, and we will not be able to expect moral acts from them or Jewish charity, which would be a mercy, right? You don't see Jews out there helping white homeless people, do you? This proves that they are not of our Father. And I'm going to leave it at that. You know, I always give a great piece of advice at the end of each Rabbit Hole Radio show, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole. Not even the Catholic hole.
They bring disgrace. I'm mining out of face.
just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lines that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face, a man without.